Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here, getting you set up for the recap of the recap. Taryn Armstrong is going to be filling in for me tonight because I am very excited that I am going to be the best man at my brother Danny's wedding. So congratulations to the future Mr. and Mrs. Danny Cesternino as he is marrying the love of his life, Patty, this Friday night. So I'm going to be part of that festivity. So I can't be here with you for what should be a very funny recap of the recap. I know it's one of my favorite podcasts of the year to do, and I'm very sad to miss it, but I think you're going to have a lot of fun here tonight. But before we get to that, I do have a treat for you because I have our exit interview with the great Christmas Abbott to have for you here after she was evicted at the Final Four. Of course, this is not a live interview with Christmas, but for the sake of podcasting, we like to pretend that it is. So without further ado, let me give you our interview with Christmas Abbott before we get to our recap of the recap. Hey, Christmas, what's going on? Rob Cesternino, first thing Christmas, you mentioned when you entered the house that you wanted to redeem yourself in the comps after having a broken foot in BB19. Do you feel like that you accomplished that goal of becoming the comp beast?
Coming into this season as an all-star and having broken my foot in season 19, I wanted to come and crush some comps. I wanted to be able to show that I was a physical competitor as well. And I really feel like I did that. I won a competition in all of the competition categories, in the power, HOH, veto, and the safety suite. So I feel like I showed the world and all the BB fans that I was a physical threat to be reckoned with.
Christmas, could you discuss what your relationship was like with Memphis in the house?
Memphis ended up being one of my best friends in the house. You know, we're single parents. We have two little boys that are pretty young. And we both, you know, like we have a very similar schedule. And I was having a really, really hard time being away from my family and being separated from Loyal. And, you know, he was just kind of there for me to be able to talk about it. And he helped keep me grounded and on track in the game. So I really appreciate him for that.
Christmas, do you think that there is anything that you could have done earlier in the game to build a tighter bond with Cody that would have made him want to keep you in the game?
Okay, so I don't know if there's anything that I could have done earlier in the game to build a tighter relationship with Cody to have prevented him from voting me out this eviction. Honestly, you know, people click early on or they don't. I felt like we had a good relationship right away. And I didn't think that I needed to go and, you know, to foster that more than it was already naturally. And, you know, I knew him and Nicole had a tight relationship. I knew him and Enzo had a tight relationship. And there's only so many spots in people's very small circle. So I think that I gave it a good run and it is what it is. I can't what if.
We saw you try and persuade Cody to keep you in the game at the Final Four. If he did keep you and you won the final HOH, would you have taken Cody or Enzo to the final two?
You know, I tried so hard and everything that I could possibly come up with to have Cody keep me in this game. I knew in my heart that he wasn't going to. So I was doing whatever was possible. Now, if he had kept me in the game and I won that final HOH, I would have to really have a conversation with him and with Enzo separately. Enzo betrayed me multiple times in this game and Cody hadn't done that to me. And I really like to keep my word. So most likely I would have taken Cody to that final two.
Christmas, can you tell us how your feelings about Tyler changed the week that he wanted to exit the game during your HOH?
Tyler wanting to leave the game infuriated me. I was so mind blown that he was trying to self-evict and then trying to get me to backdoor him on my HOH that cost me a lot of ground in my game. So, you know, after that, I knew beforehand that he was lying to me about a lot of things. And after that, there was no trust. So wherever we went in the game, I just knew that I wasn't going to be able to rely on him as a solid final two like I thought I was going to in the beginning.
And finally, Christmas, can you tell us, are you looking forward to being reunited with Danny in the jury house?
I actually am looking forward to seeing Danny. I freaking think she's a rad girl. You know, gameplay can upset you personally. I get it. There is an overlap of feelings there. But, you know, she got evicted and I was part of that contribution. She had me as a target from day one. So game wise, she got beat. But personally, I think she's a pretty rad girl.
All right, Christmas, thank you again so much for your time. We will talk with you and all of the jurors and the finalists on finale night, as Taryn Armstrong and I are going to get the opportunity to speak with all of the house guests coming up as part of our Big Brother 22 finale week coverage coming up next week on the podcast. Before I throw it over to the recap of the recap, let me just quickly thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at ZipRecruiter. Look, 2020 has kept all of us on our toes. We've had to adjust on the fly. Just look at all of the changes that Big Brother has had to make to film a season during this pandemic. Small businesses are the same. I'm sure that many of the businesses that you've seen in your towns have had to change a lot. I know, just as a small business owner of a podcast company, all the things that we've had to change in 2020. But if you're in charge of hiring for your business, these pivots have made your roles even more challenging, especially if you have to hire for brand new roles. Thankfully, there's one place that you can always go to, and that is ZipRecruiter.com/survive. They'll make hiring faster and easier. When you post a job on ZipRecruiter, it gets sent out to over 100 top job boards with just one click. Then ZipRecruiter's powerful technology finds people with the right skills and experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. It's no wonder that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself right now. You can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/survive. That's ZipRecruiter.com/survive. Let ZipRecruiter take hiring off your plate so you can focus on growing your business. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/survive. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And now, I proudly present the recap of the recap with Taryn Armstrong.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Big Brother 22 recap of the recap. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, filling in today for Rob Cesternino, and I am pleased to tell you that I am joined today by some wonderful guests. I have Chappelle with me. How you doing, Chappelle?
Hi, I'm good. I guess I'm filling in today for someone. So for Eric Stein, Matt Hoffman, somebody. So I'm happy to be here, you know, to talk about all the strategic moves that we outlined today in tonight's episode. So here I am.
Here you are. Also with me today, I'm not actually sure who this is. It looks like it might be a dragon.
Yeah, it's a dragon. So the ears won't stay up, though, is kind of the problem. And the tail, obviously, it's a little hard to show that on podcast. But no, I was like, I got to be dressed for the occasion. What do I wear for the most important episode of the season? The recap of the recap. I got my dragon onesie on and I'm ready to go.
We are ready to go to recap the recap. And I don't know. I've got to say right away, this I kind of enjoyed this episode. Is there something wrong with me?
Yes.
No.
Taryn, I think we've outlined that you've enjoyed a lot of things that people have not enjoyed this season.
It's very
true. At least you say you do. And then I believe we ran back the tape and you haven't really loved it as much as you think you have. So maybe we'll watch this back and determine.
I am often told that I'm not right about my own feelings. It's very true.
I've seen the footage.
Taryn, believe us. We know how you feel. Okay.
This is 39 in the Big Brother house, and nothing really to report today. It's a slow day, as usual. A small movement from Nicole Franzel, but nothing to report.
Great impression. I think you really nailed it.
I've listened to it for 79 days. So there you go.
I think Taryn, one of the reasons why this episode was so enjoyable because it brought back memories of when people that we liked were in the house.
Exactly.
We got to see Janelle, Kaser, and Devon and Bailey, and that was really, really wonderful.
It was. Well, I do want to let you guys know that the exit interview with Christmas will have been posted at the start of this podcast for the audio listeners. So if you are watching live and you want to listen to the Christmas exit interview, you will need to go back to this podcast and listen to the start of it. That's where the Christmas exit interview will be. And then you can just go ahead and listen to the whole thing again because it's going to be great.
I can't wait. I've been dying to hear what Christmas has to say this whole entire season. This is the day I've been waiting for, is Christmas to go home so that we can hear her real opinions about everything. I'll be listening to the exit interviews twice.
And us twice is the point also, that we are going to be just so fantastic talking about all of the things. What will we request? You won't know. You probably want to hear it a second time.
You probably will. You probably will. All right. Well, let's get into this. Let's get into this amazing episode of Big Brother, filled to the brim with some lovely content, mostly Kaser content, which I, like I said, genuinely was really happy about.
Good times.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the thing is that if we're going to talk about the happy moments of the season, we got a select few clips that we can pull from. And it so happens that Kaser is going to be part of it. But of course, we got other clips that were much more impactful. And of course, we'll go through all of that. So I thought the mix was actually quite nice.
Yes, I agree. I agree. Like I said, I enjoyed this. I enjoyed it. But we started the episode with we found out that Cody has in fact canceled Christmas. In case you didn't know before, Cody is the one that canceled Christmas. So if you are, if you're looking to blame anybody for not having any gifts this year, Cody's your guy.
The modern day Grinch, I believe. All of the who's in the Big Brother house were so sad that Christmas was canceled. So that actually kind of made me laugh, though.
I want to give credit to Devon. She canceled Christmas about week three, but Cody officially got her out of the house. But Christmas has been canceled for weeks, and my heart grew two sizes larger in that moment. So I'm very happy to see that it's finally happened.
Did it break the magnifying lens? What even was that broke? The heart box?
Well, I was like, okay, well, it can't be an x-ray. So, right. Like, maybe this is some sort of fancy imaging technique that we just don't have access to. It's a Whoville exclusive.
Truly, truly. Well, Enzo's going to let us know that it is not enough for him to make Final Three this time. It's not enough. He's got to get the win this time. There were like some serious moments in this episode. We'll talk about it at the end, but Enzo has some real fire behind him here.
This was like a memory of when Enzo had energy.
It really was. The whole episode to me was like, wow, look at Enzo. He's smiling. He's looking at the camera in the diary room. He's laughing and joking with, what is going on? Who is this Enzo?
Yeah, it sounds like Christmas finally got to him. You know, she's been sucking the life out of the house for weeks and weeks and weeks, but she's been working on Enzo ever since he slipped up and said she wasn't in the final three. And then she went on to tell him that he had just solidified third place. So, for these last couple of weeks, we've gotten a shell of Enzo. But in the beginning, he was a fan favorite. I think we were rooting for Enzo a little bit. Not so much.
I'm here for the Christmas is the succubus segment. Like, where was that on this recap of the recap? If that was truly subtle, what she was doing, there. Chappelle. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we talked about how David at times was an emotional vampire. Maybe Christmas was also just like a different version of emotional vampire. Just really making sure to have long, drawn out conversations about talent shows and just completely draining the life out of you.
Yeah, the star babies also probably took it out of her, you know, so she'd like suck her life force from elsewhere.
Yeah,
right. Yeah, she had a little postpartum star depression. We should probably give her a pass, honestly.
I mean, look, you can't compare your children to other people's children, but I feel like Christmas probably just couldn't help it when she saw when she saw her star babies, and she remembered Janelle dressed as a star, and she was just like, why can't my children be like that?
Oh, that's a good question. Are they related?
So, yeah, I mean, I think that Janelle maybe distantly related. Maybe this is like the version of the family that they stayed on their planets, their respective planets. They never ventured out. They never explored the universe, and so they never diversified and grew like Janelle.
We got to get some 23andMe going for these star babies. Figure this out.
I'm more interested in whether or not like Christmas's star babies grow up to have that thigh tattoo of that pistol. Like, is that a birthmark or is it a tattoo? Because it might be genetic. You grow up to be a badass like Christmas, or at least a thug. Then maybe it's something that you're just born with. You know,
yeah,
maybe.
It brings a whole new meaning to a shooting star.
Bang bang.
Oh boy. Well, we get our first real segment here. It's Enzo talking to Nicole, and he's talking to her about she's saying that she was so scared that she was going to be cut, and I'm trying something new, guys, so I apologize if this does not work completely properly, but I just wanted to just try something, a little something here.
So scared you almost peed your pants.
It's probably very quiet, and I apologize for that. But Enzo saying, so scared you peed your pants. I thought that was the greatest setup to a recap of the recap I've ever seen.
I mean, that was the one that they started with, too. You know, like if you're going to kick off with something, you're going to start with the peeing the pants segment. I think one of my favorite things about the recap of the recap episodes is always the awkward transitions about how do we make it from the next segment to the next segment. And so this one really was an all timer. Yeah,
it really was.
Point. Yeah, that's a good point. You're eating lobster and drinking champagne and like, oh, remember that time you peed your pants?
it was so like random. It was like, she's like, I was so worried that I was gonna be cut by Cody. So worried you peed your pants. I just like, I want to know like how many things was he ready for? Like, what else would she have said there that he could have transitioned into peed your pants?
Oh my gosh. So,
could you pass the gray poupon? Oh, pass. Like that time you passed by the restroom to pee your pants?
That time you had to pass water because you were laughing so much. First of all, about the food, they had to set it up themselves, right? Because the reason why they didn't get a new table is because nobody is allowed to enter the house because of the COVID-19 rules. So that means that they must have had to set up the food. So when they came out and they were like, oh my gosh, wow, look at this spread. Like, y'all didn't just set that up, go in there, and then walk back upstairs to then be excited about it. That was hilarious.
I like the idea that they had like HelloFresh and they put it on the table, and then they're like, okay, run up to the diary room where they're cooking and then come back down and be surprised. That's great.
That would have been even better if it had been, you have to prepare the meal yourself as well. Like, hopefully no grease fires this time, but you boil the lobster, like make your own surf and turf, because we're not doing it for you.
Yeah, you spend all that time, you make your own meal, you set it up, you walk upstairs, you come down, you go,
oh!
Oh! Where did this come from?
Oh my God, lobster and champagne. It reminds me about that time I almost peed myself.
See, they would have worked in the transition regardless. But there is something too about the fact that it's surf and turf, which makes it even more ridiculous. Like such a nice fancy meal, and then you're gonna make the awkward peed your pants transition. Yeah, I don't know how. I would love to know how that dinner, that meal works. So it's like, okay, here are all your prompts. Now you have to figure out the transitions, or do they set them up for it? It's just so much to know.
Yeah. Yeah. So we get into the segment where Nicole pees her pants, and we learn about how, she's laughing before she even brings up the prank. She's,
listen, I have been a Nicole Franzel defender all season, but I can't defend this. This is ridiculous. Ma'am, you're 30 damn 6 years old. You're too old to be peeing your pants in the kitchen around where we eat. And you know the joke is coming. You know it's coming. You're laughing before the man even gets to the restroom. You're a grown-ass woman, ma'am. I, if you haven't lost your sponsors, damn it, I'm pulling my stuff out now. Like, I am no longer sponsoring Franzel because you laughed way before the delivery of the joke, and then you peed yourself. Was it really that funny? Really? Really?
I think the new sponsorship she'll get is from Depends. Like, oh, that could have been another transition also. It would have been like, oh man, it's so great that we could depend on each other. Depends, like that time you peed your pants, right? Like those again are the transitions. But this made absolutely no sense to me. So this was a prank on Cody, but it was Enzo with toilet paper. Like, this was more just making fun of Enzo than it was. How is this a prank on Cody?
Yeah, I guess, you know, like, oh, you thought it was something else, Cody. But like, yeah, Cody would have just been laughing at Enzo. And then if Enzo was like, oh, I actually planted it there, joke's on you, Cody would have been like, okay.
Really? Really, you guys, really?
Like, you played yourself, okay? Enzo, that's what it was, y'all, right? Like, it doesn't work here. And yeah, Nicole obviously ruining it too. Like, let's say it was a legitimate prank. The fact that Nicole is laughing ahead of time is just confusing. And poor Christmas, I don't even know what was going on with her. If she was just confused, was she in on it? I don't know, but what a mess.
Yeah, top five worst pranks ever. I still don't know why it's called a prank. But I mean, to think these are grown people. These are adults. This is not like high school kids playing around. These are people with children and families about to get married. And they're laughing because, well, they're peeing on themselves because there's a little tiny sheet, like strip of toilet tissue sticking out of his pants. That's it. That's it.
Yeah.
Look, I'm bringing a child into this world like in the next year or two. Nicole, what are you doing?
Look, I'm not here to pee pant shame. As someone who also like laughs a lot, I've had a little, you know, a little slip ups here and there. Okay, look, it happens. All right,
does it happen?
No, of course not. What are you talking about? but yes,
we're gonna talk about this one, Liana. Have you peed your pants?
It's a female thing. Like, it's just like a little bit sometimes. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm admitting to this. I mean, I'm not admitting to anything. It's just like a thing that I've heard that sometimes happens. Obviously, we saw it in an awe with Nicole. It's fine. But no, I loved all of the announcements that she was going to pee her pants. That was the funniest part to me, where Nicole was like, I'm going to pee my pants. Cody, she's going to pee her pants. Like, they were working up to this and just kept announcing it. That was like, hilarious.
And she's struggling to pee. Like, that was not that funny. So we have to believe that she's sitting in the corner going, pee, 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 pee. Oh my God, pee, pee. And they're like, she's going to pee my pants. She's like, I'm going to pee my pants. Like, please, please, please. You guys, I got to do this on camera. It's time. And so the fact that it took all of that to get her to pee, and she pees herself every season, right? This is a reoccurring thing for her. This is every year she finds a reason to pee on herself on camera. So maybe the Depends sponsorship is what she's going for.
I mean, maybe there's another sponsor. Maybe, you know, Enzo had a foot person.
Yeah. A bidet sponsor. Maybe we're going for that.
Yeah.
There's a foot person.
That's where I was going.
No, we're getting to where you were going. Listen, if there's a market for what Nicole Franzo is selling, you hit her up directly. Don't talk to us about it. Because where you have bidets, sometimes people buy showers, you
like golden variety.
Yeah,
I got you.
If that's what you're into, go for it. Who are me to judge?
You do you.
Yeah.
Hey, market it, right? Like turn it into an advantage.
Champagnes and showers. All the things.
I'm picturing Liana getting the message like, hey, are you around for the recap of the recap? And like the narrator's like, unbeknownst to Liana, she would admit to peeing herself on this podcast.
Unbeknownst.
Oh man. Yeah. The poor narrator of my life. I feel bad for them regardless, but this one was brutal.
Is your onesie tard like insulated for that kind of thing? Is it safe?
I will say like onesies and overalls and that kind of stuff, not conducive to like going to the bathroom. Like this is like a whole thing, you guys. So, you know, just saying.
You're just laughing and you're just like, oh, get it off.
I don't want to be a dinosaur.
If she peed herself in the sloppies thing, then I would forgive her because it's a big, huge box. She can't get into the restroom, but she's standing there in booty shorts. She could have ran to the restroom. I just don't understand.
Well, we did see her in the diary room in the box saying something along the lines of I'm never gonna get rid of this, or I don't remember what she said, but it was in my memory it sounded like it could have been something that she would have said if she had peed herself in the box. So that's canon to me now.
The box did say they're gross. All right, like I'm just saying
they're disgusting. No, I'm kidding.
That's not too far off.
All right.
Oh, goodness.
So
let's move on.
The next segment we had was the scare war that went on this season, starting with, I think we had seen this one on the episode already, where Devon leads Cody in as Danny is hiding in the love room. And then Devon, ultimate betrayal. Oh, man. And then we just get a series of montages of scares across. We get this one every year at this point, I feel.
Yeah. Does it have a name? Is it like the James Hewling segment or really something is. Like that? I feel like that's when it started.
Gross. No, I don't like that. This is annoying. These people, like I said, if this was their first time playing, I would, okay, fine. But you guys are adults. You know, there's nothing that scary in that house. There's nothing that funny in that house. You're pissing your pants. You're jumping out of your seat. You're like, man, I'm like Devon. I'm not scared of shit, but the police. And so unless the cops jumping out of them pillows, I think I'm fine. I'm not going to be afraid of some white people. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, good thing Derek wasn't in the house then. Otherwise, they really would have had something to be afraid of.
Listen, terrified.
Yeah, Chappelle walks in. He looks at the wall. He's like, oh my god,
listen, who said no. I did it? I saw the first episode, I was like, not again. Oh god, not you, not this go. Again
here we go again.
Yeah, hopefully Kathy doesn't enter the room.
I mean, I think you stand a better chance against Kathy.
I think I do.
This is a horror movie where you're being chased by Kathy and Caramel.
It's terrifying.
It is. It's like, look, you've got a lot of time to run away, but she's relentless. She'll come at you eventually.
It's that like slow moving death threat, yeah. Right? That's just very like crawling towards you.
Yeah,
that's terrifying.
So Liana admitted something embarrassing, so I will too. When I think of like the slow moving death coming towards you, I think of that hugging emoji, the one with the hands.
That is so the hug emoji. To me.
That is the creepiest thing I've ever seen. And I sent it to someone the other day and I was like, oh my God, I feel like I had to DM them like, please don't take that the wrong way. Cause it looks like, yes, exactly, Darren. Like, it's Kathy the DM.
Oh my God. Okay. So when Puya and I were first starting to message one another, he's like a big emoji guy and he loves the little like hands up emoji guy. But I thought it was sweet. So now I don't know.
Trying to kill you.
I should have been scared. Because now that I think about it, oh God, he's...
You doxed him. No.
Not again.
I'm not doxing you. Go away. He just like... Because now it's creepy. Because it's like, is it the mime emoji? Right? Is that like, is that what it's going
it's
for?
It's like a hug. It's like,
I'm not going to lie. Though, now that I think about it.
This is a Cody moment for me. This is my admitting, I guess. I for a long time, I thought it was like a... raise the roof kind of thing.
No, not that guy. It's the emoji, like the smiling face with the like.
But like this one, it's like putting its hands up like this, right? And it's smiling.
Yeah, it's in the chat right now. It's that. Yeah, it's that. I thought they were like, hey.
Hey.
Is that, wait, does Taryn raise the roof with his hands completely vertical?
Well, how do you do it? How do you have them not vertical in an emoji?
I saw Taryn twerk during the live feed update one time, so I don't put anything past him.
I'm thinking about it, though. What do you think it does? Like, let's say it's not a hug. What is it? Is it like...
The scary
like a double ever. High five? Like a jazz hands?
Like it's like coming for you. It's not... It's like so that's my embarrassing moment. I don't pee on myself, but I am afraid of that emoji.
There you go.
You can rank our embarrassing moments like, as you will.
I don't think that's equal, but like, fine. It's fine.
I tried. Fine. I tried to save
you. Ultimate betrayal, Chappelle. Ultimate.
I tried.
Yes. All right. Any scares that stand out to you guys?
The reverse scare was kind of funny. I think when Christmas got it, Cody and Nicole, they were coming in, I believe, to scare them. But was this scare war a thing? Why do I not remember this?
It was a thing. Yeah.
Okay. I remember like a handful of them, but I didn't realize it had, you know, its own, you know, name, branding, scare war, BB22.
So I don't know if they called it scare war, but there was a war of scares that's happened.
That's the tagline.
I did the Memphis
war
one
of scares.
Yeah, that's what Ian's whole skit should have been.
Dude, that's what it is. The emoji, it fits. That's what's on the poster, Chappelle.
Scare wars.
A war of scares.
I will say Christmas is kind of frightening. So maybe that's what would have scared me. But no, none of them stood out. But I will take this over James Hewling any day, every day. If you tell me we have to do this every season to keep James Hewling off of any other of my television, period, give it to me every episode. I'll take it.
They really, now that I'm thinking about it, massive missed opportunity to not have one of these scares just be a conversation with Christmas. Because there are plenty of those where she like veers off into some weird territory, like she's talking about pipe hitters or something. And they could have just like zoomed in, done some creepy music, and it would have been one of the scares. It would have been great.
I'm not going to lie. I was kind of hoping for that. I was hoping for the Fa La Lunatic Christmas segment, you know, to us to go back to that, to revisit, which we got a few instances here and there. I feel like maybe it was in the diary room segment talking about Christmas at one point or another. But yeah, that was a missed opportunity for sure.
Yeah. When Taryn said veer, I thought you meant Christmas was going to veer left and drive her car into you.
No.
Beer left and hit you with the Oldsmobile again.
Hong Kong.
Air
Wars.
Yeah.
That's what can be in the background of the poster. Okay. So it's the emoji in the front, and then we got like the car in the background, you know, like shooting up.
Chris was like backing out.
I was thinking we get a Thelma and Louise tie-in, back to a classic Julie Chen quote of like the jump, you know. I don't know. I think it's a whole thing.
The quote on the bottom is the ultimate betrayal, Cody Califiore.
I will
his
say,
Hallmark movie.
That'll be the next Candace Cain movie. Oh man, at least I was happy we got to hear ultimate betrayal one more time. That was good. I was okay with that.
Yes, okay. I did. The Memphis scare, I think, was like, I wasn't sure what he was doing. Cody scares Memphis and he has this reaction that looks like he's like he's putting his hands up. Like I thought maybe he was going to like, ooh, like he was Caleb all of a sudden. He's Judy chopping. But then when I saw another angle, it just looked like he was like, ah! And then he just stared Cody down. And I think that was the end of the scare wars.
I mean, Memphis is also very scary, so he would be the one to put the end to the scare wars. Yeah, maybe he's just going to defend himself. I don't know. That's terrifying.
Memphis isn't scary to me. He's all like old and like curmudgeon-y, like an old person. You know, they're not scary. They're like, oh, Memphis, you said that thing that we always like for you to say, but it's kind of problematic, but it's cute because you're old. Like, I don't think Memphis is scary at all.
No, he gives me the get off my lawn vibes, which is like right. Just terrifying to me. Like, even as now a fully grown adult, although I recognize as I say that I'm also wearing a dinosaur onesie, but we're just going to move on. Mm-hmm. You know, that's still terrifying to me. Like, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get on your lawn. I'm sorry.
I'm honestly surprised that there wasn't another part of this segment, which was because they did include this in the episode. The very end. During the credits, there's a pan up. I don't know if you guys caught this. Pan up during the credits, and all of a sudden, his legs. Mm-hmm. I was like, I was expecting a squirrel, but there were legs. And then it keeps going, and oh, there's a speed. Oh, I know what this is. Oh no, oh no. Dr. Will,
the laminated Dr. Will himself,
in shiny, a speedo,
plasticky, and speedoed.
Yeah, that was a choice.
Choices. The pan up was slow and methodical. They planned it. They knew what they were doing. They were trying to reveal to us something, and I'm not quite sure I enjoyed the reveal. But
it's
I
like
saw it.
The death scene from Scare Wars. I love the idea though that they clearly obviously captured that footage right while he was there. Okay. That means they've been sitting on this clip for weeks at this point. So what was the discussion like in the editing room? I just imagine there was one guy who was like, remember that shot we got a Will? I really want to stick it in. Like, where do we put in this shot?
You see, I think it's something else. I think it's like, oh, hey, we got Dr. Will for that neighbor thing. And then some intern was sitting there like, hold on. I have an idea. Hear me out. I want Dr. Will in a Speedo, given a good stretch and a yawn. I want it all. I want to film it now. We're going to hold on to it. I'm just going to hold on to it. What do you mean we're going to hold on? When are we going to air it? I mean, we don't need to air it. But I mean, no. We're going to air it, you know, the clip show. The clip, that's where we air it, obviously. Then it's perfect sense. You just stick it in the episode. I don't know where that would fit, though. I don't know why. Where would we fit in Dr. Will in a Speedo? The credits.
Yeah.
Great stinger, great ending to the episode. That's it. So we're going to need that shot for sure though. And I get a copy, right?
Well, I didn't look too close, but it didn't look like a Speedo to me. It looked like tidy whities almost, like little underwear. And I feel like when they went to Dr. Will and was like, Dr. Will, listen, hear me out. I know it sounds crazy, but one of our interns really, really, really thinks we should include the footage of you in possibly a Speedo. And Dr. Will says, well, I don't have a Speedo. And then he just rips off his breakaway like pants, like, but I did come prepared for this. And he's wearing like Dr. Will brand undies. And then the crowd goes wild. They're very, he's very shiny as usual and, you know, whatever. And so, yeah, they kept the footage, but he was ready. Dr. Will stays ready. So you stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
I wonder if they had to pay him more for that. Like, we obviously, he doesn't have an OnlyFans, so we can't do any type of comparison. But yeah, I wonder if that was included in the contract, was an addendum to said contract. I don't really know how that worked, but or yeah, like Chappelle was saying, he was good to go regardless. Those breakaway pants are key.
If you had told me that we were going to get Dr. Will on a second All-Star season, this is not what I was expecting.
No. No,
this is kind of what I was expecting. So, oddly enough, this is right on par with what I thought. Now, in the credits, no, but I didn't expect
you
to go
expected
a
full segment.
At some point, I thought, you know,
He is the neighbor. I think we need that as part of a competition, right? We got the winking. So now we got to close things out with the underwear segment. I think it's only right.
Yeah, part three of the final three HOH is going to be seven questions on it. Was it a Speedo or was it underwear?
You decide. That's what I'm saying, yo. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he was wearing a robe, right? So it fits.
Did he yawn with his right arm or left arm?
These are reasonable questions. As a Dr. Will super fan, I probably could answer, but I just don't want to embarrass myself. So we're just going to keep this one to myself. So, you know, if it comes up, bring me back. We can talk about it.
At this point, why not? Why not? Nah, I don't mind. Do it as part of the part three HOH. It's the bonus question maybe at the end. I don't know. The tiebreaker, something. But I think it needs to be included.
Yeah. How long was Dr. Will your neighbor for?
That's a good question.
That's a good question. Because was he the neighbor for the whole week?
Exactly.
Technically.
Nobody knows.
But was when the salamander moved in, did he move out? Does that no longer count? I don't know.
Oh, man. What if one of the questions is, what was the hamster question? Like, how many
pairs are in the house?
Yeah, how many pairs? How many married people were in the house this season? And the answer is one more than you would expect because Dr. Will was technically there.
Oof! Big oof!
Is Dr. Will married to the salamander?
they're just friends, Chappelle, okay? Stop trying to put a label on that relationship.
Listen, Dr. Will, if that's what you got going on, I support, okay? Look, do what you gotta do. I saw you in that Speedo. And I'm sure the salamander saw it too. So,
Man.
You know, I'm looking at a screenshot right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's undies.
That's the
judgment.
The final decision. Yeah. Oh man, I'd have to go back and review the tapes.
I'm not gonna lie to y'all. Never gonna look at that again. So whatever y'all say, I'll go with it.
Like I trust you guys.
I think I'm probably gonna have to do some more research. So we'll just have to. I'll have a full in-depth review tomorrow morning.
I was going to see Taryn. I expect a full in-depth review tomorrow morning. I mean, what else are we going to talk about? Like,
it sounds like Taryn's a Big Brother intern who might have wanted that footage.
Maybe for him, that's why you knew what the idea was, Taryn. Did you come up with that yourself?
Of all my ideas for them to do. I mean, really.
Yeah, they ignored all the twists, all the other comments you've made. No, we're going undie shot and Dr. Will.
Taryn's like, stop with the wall yelling, please. I'm an intern on this show. Stop. You're ruining everything. But also, show me those undies again. Let me see that.
I mean, maybe somebody went to the wall. Maybe somebody went to the wall and they said,
get Dr. Will in his undies, please. I need Dr. Will in his underwear now.
Stat.
of all the things, Cody and Nicole running the game. No. But the undies again made it through.
Yes. All right. Well, we're then going to get the Nicole picks Janelle for a have not. And what I loved about this is that they showed a part of this clip that they did not show last time, where they had Nicole explaining to Christmas that she was planning out what she was going to say to Janelle. And then they showed it. And also, you've been talking about me, so... Oh my God, I just didn't even know what I was saying. I just, like, it just came out. Like, and then a clip from the diary room, like, I just said what I was on my mind. I just didn't even know what I was doing. And I was like, I would love more of these segments, please. More of Nicole on the live feeds versus Nicole in the diary room.
No, this one was fascinating because I was like, I remember this from the episode. So they took the thing that they had edited and then added in like the director's cut version that we had talked about when this all went down. That was, oh, but she did. And this is a lie. And Nicole is being a little snake right now. So that was really nice to see. I don't know if this was a conscious choice that they made at the time. They were like, we got to protect Nicole. And now they're just like, yeah, F it. Included in there.
I like the idea that they're slipping it in like subtly because they can't expose her because, of course, she's running the game. Right. Like she's running production. She's calling in favors. So you can't outrightly just say like, look, Nicole, you lied. But you can kind of package this in a recap of the recap that she's never going to see and kind of just slip it in because I was one of the people. I was bamboozled. I remember the first time I watched the episode. I thought, oh, well, I mean, it's not like she practiced it too much. I mean, she didn't know exactly what she was going to say. And then and I like the way she practiced it with Christmas. She's like, I'm just going to say, like, girl, you be talking about me. So, you know, I guess you got to be a half not. And then she goes out there and like, Christmas, I guess I'm going to, Janelle, I got to make you a half not because, like, sometimes you say stuff about me. Okay, bye. Like, where was all that that I wanted, Nicole? And then she's like, oh, and I just made it up at the last second. I promise. So I like the subtle pullback of the curtain, you know, kind of expose her for the Wizard of Oz that she is.
And there's also, it's also like this sly smile that she makes after she does it too. Like the kid who just made a big mess and like successfully got it blamed on their sibling. Like,
oh, that's a perfect example. You know, that recent viral video of that little girl who like her sister's about to blow out the candles. And so like she blows out the candles for her and her sister attacks her. And then afterwards, she's just like moving her bangs out the way. Like, yeah, I did it. I don't care. That's Nicole. Like I was just practicing it. I didn't say anything. Like,
I'm like, oh, did I say that loud? Oh, right. I didn't mean to.
That's going to stain. Oops. Yeah, so I like that.
I need to watch that video.
Yeah. Oh, no, I will send it to you. This little girl gets attacked because her sister blows out the candles. She attacks her. And then the sister, you would think she would feel like bad or remorseful about it. Nope. She just kind of stands there in her glory and her filth and just like, yeah, I did it. I don't care.
I noticed that when you said attacked, you made this motion.
See?
It's the Christmas.
New name for that emoji. Like, no, Christmas. I didn't mean the Christmas tree. I meant the Christmas emoji. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
All right. Next segment. Enzo, are you a vegan? What are you doing? You're eating some meat?
Hey, yo, I'm a hybrid vegan. That's it, yo. I eat lots of bread in high places. That's it. That's the diet, yo.
Oh, that was the definition. That makes much more sense.
Yeah, did you guys think he was saying something different than that? Because it was it's a very popular diet.
No, I thought he was calling himself the Toyota Prius of vegans. Like, I'm a hybrid, baby. Good for the environment. Lego.
You know, I didn't have an issue with that. I really was proud of him for going vegan. Like most vegans, he had to tell us that he was going vegan because you can't go vegan unless you tell a bunch of people.
But a vegan now, yo. That's right, it.
That's the first step. Before you give up any actually like foods or, you know, maintaining any dietary restrictions, you have to first say I'm a vegan or it doesn't count. But then like I appreciated that because as we know, Enzo's had some problems in the bathroom. And so maybe this was an attempt to become a little bit more regular, to get some fiber into his system, to maybe move away from those hemorrhoids, you know? So
hemorrhoids.
I didn't want to say it. I mean, like, you know, we kind of try to keep a PG podcast, but I mean, Enzo had hemorrhoids, had some issues in the bathroom. Yeah. And I think going vegan might be healthy for him. That's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah. This was the clip to me that immediately was like, who is this Enzo from 40 days ago? That's like, I'm vegan now, yo. I'm vegan now. And he's in the diary room like, I don't even like this, yo, but I gotta do what I gotta do to get close to these people, yo. That's it. And he's looking at the camera and he's like, yeah, yo. I don't know. Maybe the vegan thing, maybe it's a bad thing. Tyler's like, oh, he'll be lighter on his feet. But Tyler did not do as well this season in competitions. Enzo stopped doing well in competitions.
It related. I think for me, the funniest part was his new nickname, the Scheming Vegan, which goes back to the whole question of like, why do you have to be the sneakiest, right? Mm. But apparently that's still tied into Enzo and what he desires to be in the house. And so the Scheming Vegan, I think, really could have been his, you know, his comic book name from this year. I think that's great branding.
I mean,
yeah. And the tagline could say, do eggs come from the ground?
Yeah.
Do chickens come from the ground?
I mean, look, I'm just waiting for Enzo to launch a competing cookbook that competes with Angela's cook, the Scheming Vegan cookbook. You know, complete with a now the restaurant chain, the Scheming Vegan. This is a branding opportunity here, Enzo.
You can partner with Memphis to do that, right? The Memphis, the restaurateur. But the only thing, though, the problem with the cookbook is that it does feature a lot of egg and chicken recipes, which, you know, I think maybe by definition, vegans may have a problem with.
Yeah, but you get them from the ground.
Obviously.
So it's vegan.
It's
the hybrid vegan.
You're right.
Formula.
You have eggs. You have dark chocolate.
Yeah.
And other products that come from the ground. Obviously. Yeah.
So like here's an example. This is a phone. If I take this phone and I put it on the ground, this phone just came from the ground. Now it's edible.
Are you vegan now?
I'm vegan now.
Are you going to eat your phone?
I'm vegan, yo.
I see.
That's it.
I can tell. Clear those hemorrhoids right up. I think David's sweet potato fries are going to be in the cookbook. Well, because obviously he can't prepare them without a cookbook, even though it's just sweet potato. You know what? Nobody demands attention more than someone who's eating sweet potato fries. Like, it's something it's something you can't do. It's kind of like, who wants to see my sweet potato fries?
Yes.
Like, that goes with the whole, like, you got to tell somebody that you're vegan or doing CrossFit, right? Like, it's the same thing. Sweet potato fries fall right in there. I think my biggest concern, though, is like this whole ground rule really gives new meaning to the 5-second rule. Does that mean that like anything I drop on the ground, it's no. I can still eat it because it's vegan. It's okay now.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm with you, Chappelle. Every time I see somebody eating sweet potato fries, I'm like, you really like those better? You really like those better? I'm like the people who watch me watch Big Brother that are like, you really like this show? Right. Like, I don't even believe them.
Run the clip. Run the clip of it's day 62 in the Big Brother house and I'm eating sweet potato fries.
Yeah.
And, not a lot of movement, but David has burned.
No, guys, they're really better.
right.
They're sweeter.
This is a great season. You like it? We plan seasons weeks and weeks in advance. I don't like that. We got sweet potato fries. What's wrong? What's wrong with y'all?
Yeah. I like sweet potato fries. I feel really attacked right now.
No, we didn't say you couldn't like sweet potato fries. We said you couldn't like them and not say it, and you said
you can't like them more than regular fries. That would just be a lie. A straight lie.
It's a lie.
This season with these poor people, this is the second segment this season where somebody has spent a lot of time making food only to not get the food. That's like, look, there are a lot of bad feelings in the world, but one of the worst is when you spend a lot of time making food and then something goes wrong and you don't get to eat that food. And my heart just broke for David.
Yeah.
Who was the one at the end though, who asked, so no fries?
Cody. Cody is me. Like, so we're not eating. No.
Yeah.
So we're not going to eat these. We're not going to follow up on this. No.
Right.
No.
I mean, we could. Unfortunately, we don't have any more sweet potato, but we could start over with some regular.
Wasn't he doing both?
I think
he had both. Yeah. He had both sweet potatoes. Yeah. No, that was hilarious. Oh my gosh. I was actually happy that they finally showed that because I thought they were going to include it in an episode. I don't know. Are grease fires too dangerous for television? I don't know.
I'm so upset that they didn't show the part I was looking forward to the most was Memphis ripping the fire extinguisher out of Cody's hands. I've heard the story that that Cody got the fire extinguisher and was like, what do I do with this? And then Memphis just like, give me that thing, and just like did it himself.
I mean, come on. We've seen a lot this season, and I think Cody's putting it on a little bit for the cameras, but make no mistake, if I have to save us from a burning building and then you have to choose between Cody and me, I will rip the fire extinguisher from his hand every time. How? Thank you, Memphis, for saving everyone's life, because you cannot trust Cody to handle this. Not Mr. Like, is a Texan an animal? Yeah. Did eggs come from the ground?
I don't know.
Like,
guys, is the extinguisher ripe yet? I'm not sure. Wait, it's
Yeah. Is it ripe? Can I use it? Like, no. Memphis did God's work right there.
Well, we all know Enzo couldn't use it because it didn't come from the ground. So that's obviously it's also, out.
It's not like a man thing. It's not a manly enough. Mm. It's like the teapot. You don't put out fires. Fires are manly. You don't put them out.
We keep that burning. Yeah. Okay.
I'm not afraid of no fire, yo. That's it.
Grease fire. What? I made one in the diary room the other day. Not afraid. No big deal. But I think we saw a little bit of Memphis at least using it at the end, where there did seem to be that fervor of him, but I couldn't tell if he grabbed it from Cody or not. But yes, I was also hoping for that moment.
He's a grown man. Okay. He didn't have time. Okay. Memphis has bills and like all the rest of these people have forgotten where they are. Memphis is the only person who is still, he goes to sleep at a normal time. He refuses to let the house burn down. Memphis is the avatar for all the adults with responsibilities in the Big Brother house.
And he's the restaurateur as well. So, you know, like it fits with the grease fire.
See, I was just imagining in my head that like, okay, Cody grabs the fire extinguisher. He's like, okay, I got to put out the fire. Memphis grabs it. Just looks Cody straight in the eye while the fire is burning. Cody's like, what are you doing, dude? Put it out. Memphis is like, don't ever scare me again. And then he puts it out.
And the fact that it was David also who started the fire and Memphis who put it out. There's something else him. There.
He hates him so much. He probably was like, God, David, God, David, stop.
What a rookie move. What a rookie mistake.
David, you're sucking
too much oil.
You're such a rookie. Oh my God. Put out the fire. Surprise.
Oh boy. No. All right. Well,
we got a
Janelle and Kacer segment. This is like one of those things that that shippers make, like YouTube videos with like music behind it. This was like full on Stan video montage on an episode.
Which song would you put? Liana, which song would you put over the video montage and if you were making a YouTube video?
The Dawson's Creek theme song. For our lives to be over.
Yes. Yes. And it's probably relevant to when the show was actually on.
Yeah, the timing lines up, right?
It's the montage from season 6.
Yeah, we're going back inside. Oh, beautiful. This was straight up something though from a fan vid. Like I think I've seen this video online before, for sure.
That you got a friend in me. Mm-hmm.
That's pretty fitting.
In me.
Yeah.
It's Andy just, Newman? He comes out of nowhere and starts singing it.
All along, this has been Toy Story 5.
Who would have thought?
Who's Forky? Did Forky make it from Toy Story 4? Never mind. Don't spoil it.
No spoilers. Yeah, no Toy Story spoilers.
We're not to spoilers yet.
Oh man, that would be a great B&B game. We got to do like the matching of Toy Story characters to Big Brother contestants. I'll talk to Mike about that.
Yeah. There's not a lot to make fun of here because it's just a nice segment with Kacer and Janelle. I like it.
It was enjoyable. No. Who would have
thought? I have something.
Uh-oh.
So big. I like when they're in a hallway. Liana. I've never heard somebody say beg or flag. So that was new. But no, I like when they're in a hallway and they're talking to each other. And like, I haven't seen you in 14 years. Oh yeah, me neither. Walks away.
Yeah.
What? I get it. Listen, y'all don't want to be looked at as a pair and all this other stuff, but you haven't seen your best friend that you like are iconic television with for 14 years. And the first thing you do is like look up at the wall, like, oh, look, it's Paul. Like,
oh, look at the spray cans. Right. Oh, man. So interesting.
I haven't seen you in so long. Okay, bye. Like,
I mean, Cody Calafiore, actor extraordinaire, probably saw right through that, right? Because they're like trying to pretend like, oh, hey, yeah, we like don't talk.
We didn't even know each other before this at all.
Yeah, I didn't even know he was going to be here. It's wild. Wow. Oh, man. Hey, you.
It's been like a week. I mean, 14 years since we talked.
Oh my God.
Not a little late.
That's what I'm saying, yo.
Yeah, it really was a very bad acting job. And you saw some of it in the premiere too. It was just like right away, like, oh, hey, but like not the real enthusiasm that you would have after seeing someone for 14, but also like the but I'm trying to downplay it, but obviously down, like they just, you'd think that they would have prepared.
Mm-hmm. Like, you know this is gonna happen, right? You know you're gonna have to meet in the house, so yeah, have a game plan here.
Well, there's no meet in the house.
Oh, yeah. No game. Well, no game can be had by multiple definitions of the word. Yes,
exactly.
Yeah, I don't know. I just thought it was a little fake, just because we've seen
a little
Janelle, like, yep, a lot. We've seen Janelle like run and jump in Case's arms and fist pump. We've seen the fan cams for years and years and years, and then we finally get the reunion. We finally get the moment of these two iconic characters, and they're like, "Oh, hey, girl, hey, okay, bye." And meanwhile, like, Cody's an actor, so he's like, "I see." Straight through this. And then Davon's an acting coach now, so she's like, you know, I don't like it. So no, it went nowhere.
Yeah. And then the end of it, it shows when Kacer got voted out of All Stars and what up, Kacer, like it's like this big goodbye, and then it's like and then when Janelle got voted out in Big Brother 22, and it's just, they're just like silently hugging. It's like, where's the enthusiasm? What? No, this is not a good comparison. You should have just skipped the first one, because this would have been better if it was just by itself.
Right. They should have watched more YouTube montages.
Exactly.
Could have learned a thing or two from the fans. I agree.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I did notice immediately following the Kacer and Janelle fan cam segment, vote for America's favorite player this season.
I have a conspiracy theory. I don't know if I should talk about this, but I'm gonna. That was a lot of Tyler, at least in the first half. I feel like it was a lot of Tyler. We got the Tyler and Christmas segment with the, you know, the squirrel, although that is hilarious. We got him talking about the vegan stuff. Felt like a lot of Tyler. I'm just saying.
See, I felt like it was very blatantly, like it was like a full like 5 minute Kacer and Janelle segment followed by vote for America's favorite player. And then we got like we got Cody and Tyler. I felt like they were pushing for Janelle.
Yeah, that's fair.
I don't like it. I think everyone should just keep their voting opinion to themselves. Like, if I got on here and said, like, vote for Davon for America's favorite house guest, and I told everybody to vote for it, and I retweeted it and I posted it, I would expect everybody to vote for Davon for America's favorite house guest. So even if you're showing me Tyler over and over again, I'm still expecting you to vote for Davon as America's favorite house guest. If you're not already voting for Davon as America's favorite house guest, you could vote for Davon as America's favorite house guest 10 times.
No, I agree with you, Chappelle. I think it's important that we don't talk about who we're voting for. For example, if I were to vote for Davon as America's favorite house guest, for example, and do that multiple times a day. I really just think that it's something we all need to just keep close to our vests. You know,
like we
no
have
reason
a very
to discuss Davon for America's
stance,
favorite house
guest. We have a very strong stance of neutrality on this podcast, where we don't talk about, for example, voting for Davon as America's favorite house guest. We would never push for anything like that.
No, right. I agree. Yeah. I agree. 100%.
And it's not like Davon isn't already your favorite house guest. So we shouldn't have to tell you to vote for Davon as your favorite house guest. But if you haven't. Of course we wouldn't. And if you haven't, you could always just go to my Twitter page and look for a link to CBS's website and go vote for Davon if you wanted to on your own fruition. You don't need me to tell you to vote for Davon as America's favorite house guest, because you were already going to do that. So this was pandering, and I didn't like it. I think that CBS should be a little bit more neutral.
I think they treat us like we're stupid. You know, I think that like we can't see through their agenda. I mean, come on.
Right.
Pandering in its finest. My God.
Imagine.
Ridiculous.
Hey, Rob here, and I've got a quick word from you for tonight's sponsor of the podcast, our friends over at ZipRecruiter, and we'll get right back to the recap of the recap. 2020 has kept us all on our toes. We've needed to be very flexible. We see it with Big Brother and all of the changes that they've had to make to be able to film the Big Brother season during the pandemic. Businesses, too, have had to be very flexible this year, from remotely working to pivoting their business to models for long-term survival and growth. You see, restaurants have had to move all of their dining outdoors, adding takeout and catering to the menus. Some consumer packaged goods have shifted their focus more on surface cleaners and personal hygiene products. If you're in charge of hiring for your business, these pivots have made your job even more challenging, especially if you have to hire for brand new roles. Thankfully, there's one place that you can always count on to make hiring faster and easier. That's ZipRecruiter.com/survive. When you post on ZipRecruiter, your job gets sent out to over 100 top job boards with just one click. Then ZipRecruiter's powerful technology finds people with the right skills and experience for your job and actively invites them to apply. It's no wonder that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. See for yourself right now. You can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/survive. That's ZipRecruiter.com/survive. Let ZipRecruiter take hiring off your plate so you can focus on growing your business. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/survive. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Now let's get back to the Friday night recap of the recap.
Let's move on. Chappelle, what does right mean?
I'm sorry, what was the question again?
I just need to know what ripe means. Specifically.
Like in regards to like
the word.
The word ripe.
Like in regards to the word being defined by you.
This by me.
Yes.
As if you don't know what the word ripe means already, you grown man.
I mean, I know what it means. I'm just wondering if you know what it means.
I mean, I know what it means. I could not imagine somebody who's lived on this earth this past their, well past their 20s, you know, past 21, 22, been to college.
Past their 20s.
I couldn't. Yeah, past the early 20s, at least. I can imagine someone to live this long and really not know what the word ripe means. But from what I learned tonight on the episode, if it's ripe, it's right.
And it's ready.
And it's ready. R&R. It's like when you do that, when you can't remember how to turn left and you hold your left hand up because it makes an L. If you hold your right hand up and it makes an R, a backwards R, then it's right. And it's ripe. And that's how you know when to eat your bananas and your produce.
Right is ripe means it's ready.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an R.
Mm-hmm.
This is like a toddler learning vocabulary. Okay, let's go to our word bank. Okay, Cody, we're going to talk about, we have all food flavored words today. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, Nicole also trying to help out. She used it in a sentence, which I thought was also very useful. The avocado is very ripe. Okay. Mm-hmm. So we got that to help educate. This was weird. I did, and I will admit this, since apparently that's where I'm at right now, did Google the word ripe just in case. I needed to know the technical definition, which is developed to the point of readiness for harvesting and eating.
You see, that's what I was going to say. Just like you kind of interrupted me right as I was about to explain what it meant to people.
Yeah,
so,
you knew.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what's more absurd? Do eggs come from the ground, or what does the word ripe mean? What, I mean, come on.
Honestly, this I think it's eggs stuff. Coming from the ground. I feel like that's worse.
I
to think
I
that
think
eggs grow
right.
from the ground.
Like from an eggplant. That's where it grows from.
Eggplant.
That's why they call it that.
Look, I don't want to give Cody any credit for this or try to defend him in any way, but maybe he was like, what is the technical definition mm-hmm. of ripe? Okay. Wow. Whereas where is Enzo saying, but technically, where do eggs come from? Because that's a little different.
Yeah. Yep. Well, Sis can help you out. She knows a lot about eggs.
Yeah. And the types of words, right?
Adjectives for sure. Adverbs as well. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, I will give him a pass on ripe because the egg thing is just so much worse. Like this is like the second or third time eggplants have come up on this podcast alone, you know, with Dr. Will's undies and this eggs growing from the ground. This is a very eggplant heavy episode as far as I'm concerned. So I'll give Cody a pass because Enzo is the real culprit here.
Are eggplants very heavy?
No.
Mine are.
Ayo! Mine? Multiple? No.
Are. Multiple.
Are. Ready? Ripe?
Are. Ready? R is ready. Ripe. Oh, no. Don't be right. Look, we know what happens on Zoom calls, okay, when things get out of hand, all right? So let's just, like, back off of that for a bit. I did like the through line with the bananas, right? So, is you know, if the banana is ripe, and then we got the segment, of course, with the smushy bananas. Mm-hmm. So that was nice to have that tie-in, but...
Are bananas heavy?
Yeah, I'm doing my best to move on, buddy, okay? Just roll with it.
I will roll with it.
Rob coming back to his podcast is going to be that gif of a Troy coming back.
Yeah, in community. And everything's on fire.
Walks in with the pizzas. Yeah. Like, oh, God. Yeah. Everything's fine. It's cool.
We did a great job.
Yeah, we did it.
So Christmas sees a squirrel.
Continue.
Yep. And go on.
And
so I recorded a clip of this. I apologize if it's a little quiet, but it's just a small bit here.
Oh, look. It looks like a little statue.
It is a statue.
That's like such a little pose. Squirrel, we love you.
Yeah.
Oh, it looks like a little statue.
It is a statue.
I like that he said that, and Chris is just completely glossed. Oh, it's a perfect pose. It's a little model squirrel.
It's like a little statue.
It's a little statue. It is a statue.
I didn't notice she said that the first time. It is a statue. Okay, but it's not moving. Well, girl, it's a statue.
Yeah, we love you, little squirrel.
It's a cute little statue, but it's not moving. Yeah, because it's a statue. But listen, it's not. The pose.
Chris was like gonna go up to the squirrel, like, oh, little squirrel, he's staying still for me right now. And I was like, because it's a statue. She's like, he's less like a little statue. Look, I'm gonna touch him. Oh, he's so cute.
Straight up big brain energy over here from Christmas. Does she think that Otev the salamander was real because it moved, right? Like, is that real?
Yeah, it doesn't even have to be to move to be real, because that was perfectly still. And she, after it had been 40 days, and she's like, hey, did you see that squirrel? Like, ma'am, there are no trees over here. Like, like woodland creatures just like parking in the backyard. They're like, I guess I'll just hang out up here to some.
It's a white Christmas. She's Snow White. She's got the woodland creatures.
She was like dancing and singing and pee popping that one time in the room. So maybe she was like talking to the squirrel statue.
And then Tyler's just like, statues. So she's hanging out in the room after they'd get all the floaties from Otev. She's talking to all, like, Christmas, those are floaties. You know that, right? Yeah.
That's what I was thinking. She thinks Mulan is real. It's just a miniature cow. I also would have loved, like, Christmas would have continued to live on thinking that was a real squirrel, and then go out each day and be like, oh, the squirrel is back. That's so cute. It's coming back to say hi to us.
Guys, he's like there all the time.
Oh, that's so cute.
There has to be footage of Tyler like sneaking off to one of the producers and being like, really? seriously, no one's going to, I mean, come on, you guys, this, she can't be serious. And they're like, Tyler, please put your mic back on. He's like, listen, honestly, she's a grown woman. It's a statue, lady. It's been there all season.
Chappelle,
like, Tyler, please stop it.
We saw this. We saw clips of this in the diary rooms. This game messes with your mind, man.
That would be me crying. Because I always think I wouldn't be crying in the diary room. I'm just not a crier. But oh my God, if you have someone asking me if eggs come from the ground and what does right mean and like thinking that squirrels are moving, I'm in there bawling. I'm like Zach Rance, like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Really? Really? Like, that's me. No, absolutely not. So I get it. I see why they cry in the diary room. It makes sense now.
Yeah, I think I would also just straight up lose it. I would also like to think, though, that maybe production was playing their own version of a prank on Christmas. So moving the statue every once in a while. So maybe Christmas would think it was in a different position. But
like up on the shelf.
Like Elvis theme. It's yes. Oh my gosh.
Liana.
It's squirrel doing a twirl. Squirrel on a.
Nope. Perfectly still.
Okay. Never mind.
Oh boy. I just like Christmas is Tyler's like no seriously though. I'm imagining myself in Tyler's shoes, right? She says it's just like a statue. I'm like cuz it is a statue. And then she keeps going. And I'm like, "Wait, did she just hear me or like do I have to say it again? Like you're really embarrassing yourself. Now I'm embarrassed because you're going to be so embarrassed and I'm going to have to tell you, okay, Christmas though it is, you know it is a statue." You're like, okay, at least I got it over. She's like, no, it's not.
But does he feel like it is his responsibility and duty to educate Christmas about this situation? Or is this like a, you know, telling a kid in very Christmas theme that Santa Claus isn't real? Did he have to break the news to Christmas to be like, I'm sorry, like the squirrel is a statue.
Yeah. See, I think maybe Tyler is a better person than me because I think maybe my response to this would have been, it is a squirrel. Look at it. Can you believe this?
Can you catch it? Go touch it, Christmas. You got it. Go and chase the squirrel, Christmas. You got it.
This is unbelievable.
Get up there.
Hold on. We gotta go show everyone. Go grab every. Go tell them that there's a squirrel. Yeah.
Go tell everybody. Squirrel just won't move. But I did like the quote from Christmas. I got played by a squirrel, which, you know, in terms of Christmas getting played by people,
I just
places,
don't think
things.
Look, it's just not very sporting. She shouldn't be calling Cody a squirrel. I just don't think it's fair. To Cody, just because he shaved, like it's just not a. It's just, don't be mean. Don't be mean.
I mean, Cody, Tyler, Enzo, Nicole, swapping a name. You got it. Insulting them all, calling them all squirrels.
Yeah,
it's like the new meatballs. Like you're all a bunch of squirrels.
Squirrel statues.
Where's Jason Roy?
Squirrels. Squirrels.
All right. Actually, we should not talk about squirrels around anybody that was anywhere close to the Big Brother 21 cast.
That's right. We're moving on.
They would have grabbed. Yeah, they would have grabbed David, and he would have been like, "No, no!
Please don't put me in a bag. Please don't put me in a bag." That was so weird. That was like a fever
really
dream.
Weird.
Yeah. Why a squirrel? Was this a whole, like, maybe we're going to get some type of through line with the squirrel that's captured them all that one year. And now we have the squirrel statue.
You know, this is a reference that everyone is going to get. The early seasons of the revival of Doctor Who were like on the finale of those, like first three, the Russell T. Davies kind of those seasons on the finale. Every single time there'd be a montage of like, bad wolf was uttered throughout the season, and then it's like, oh my god, there was like a secret overlord the whole time. And I think that someday we're gonna have a montage of that caliber on Big Brother where secretly the squirrel has been running the show the whole time.
the squirrel's like in the background, like he's a Dalek, and so he's like, yeah. Yeah, makes sense. I got the reference.
Like, y'all think Big Brother is just lowbrow, putting people in costumes, much to Melissa's chagrin, but no, it was all thought out. They had a plan this whole time. It's all squirrel related,
basically.
Yeah, but then it's that meme where it's like, no, it wasn't the squirrel. It was Nicole Franzel controlling the squirrel
all along.
She was in the squirrel costume in BB21. Oh no.
Makes sense.
It all makes sense.
Yeah. All right. So then we get a montage of requests. I loved this.
It was great.
We get, Memphis would really like a hot tub.
You think? I might have heard him say
I don't
that.
Think he mentioned it enough. Really? Or at all.
Once.
I mean, he was probably like doing a favor for someone else, you know.
As Memphis is wont to do, yes. Yeah. Consider others' wants and feelings and thoughts, yes. Yeah, can we warm the hot tub? That's all, man. Look, just warm in the hot tub.
I want to go in it tomorrow, so if you could just, you know, warm it up today.
Yeah.
Have it ready.
We know Memphis has back pains and aches and other things that, you know, Bengay might not work for. So, you know, knowing that he has these pains and aches, it makes sense that he wants the hot tub. Make Kaser one and a bunny make sense to me. Somebody explain that to me. I can see why Memphis wants the hot tub, but tell me why Kaser needs a bunny.
Yeah, Taryn, as our live feed expert, please explain.
He needs a friend. He needs somebody to connect to. You know, this is probably when Janelle had already left. She talked a lot about her bunny, Blueberry. And he was probably like, hey, I would like a bunny. Janelle loves her bunny. I would like to have a bunny for myself and for the house. We can all bond over our love for bunnies. And I love this line. He's just like, now I don't want to make you guys look like the bad guy, but I may have already convinced half the house that they're getting a bunny. So
Kaser always playing Big Brother. That was here. No, the concept of the emotional support bunny, I think, is fabulous. Like, that's what they should have gone with. I'm sure the producers were like, you have an emotional support squirrel in the backyard, so that should be enough for you. I don't know why you need another, rabbit, another animal here. So it doesn't make any kind of sense.
The squirrel's not moving, so yeah. I guess
it's less fuzzy.
Yeah. Maybe this is cultural. What exactly is hot pepper jam?
I don't know. Okay, I assume it's jam of the pepper.
Like hot, like, yeah, like, you know, you can make jam jelly out of a variety of fruits. So you do it with peppers instead, or maybe there's other things involved. It's got a little kick to it. I think is what
like
they
spread
say.
It on toast. Do you want like spicy toast?
Put in your slop.
Spicy toast is not a thing I ever thought I would want. Hot pepper jam.
Christmas is hot pepper jam.
Yeah. Hot pepper jam. Hot pepper jelly. I see a bunch of recipes for it.
Okay.
So it definitely seems to be a thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's red bell peppers, green bell peppers, jalapenos, apple cider vinegar. Yeah. Pectin and sugar. So it's like how you would make jelly anyway, but it's peppers.
Heidi hot in the pepper. Chat says they usually serve it with cream cheese and crackers.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
I didn't know you put cream cheese on crackers, to be honest.
What type of crackers?
Yeah, I'm just imagining like little square crackers.
Okay, but like Ritz, Triscuits, come on. Right. Like, we need to know
Saltines.
The type that matters.
Salt. Yeah. Yeah, so is that a thing? I can't name it.
Oh yeah, the cream cheese dampens heat. That makes sense. It's a dairy product. Now, unfortunately, I don't think cream cheese grows in the ground, so Enzo probably can't eat that.
Luckily, I have a workaround.
Mm-hmm. You gonna drop it?
Yeah. Chappelle gets me.
I got you. Just put it on the ground. Pick it up.
Does it have to drop be like cream? Drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's cream cheese hot.
Drop it like it's hot pepper jam. Yeah. Drop it like it's hot pepper jam.
Does it have to be cream cheese side down?
Yeah, unfortunately, getting the container on the ground is not the container comes from the ground, but the food itself.
What's inside it? Not on the ground.
It has to touch the ground in order for it to come from the ground.
I was about to ask, if you drop a banana, but it's in its peel, does that come from the ground? And then I remembered, Liana, bananas come from the ground normally. So you don't have to do the workaround. It's okay. Oh,
are you saying bananas are vegan? What if it's not ripe?
I don't know how to define it. Okay. I don't like defining these things. I don't like putting labels, but right. Possibly.
All right. Well, what other requests did we have? I know we had SPF 30 lip balm. Tyler's lips burn easy.
That's right. Let's see.
He should stay away from the red pepper jam.
Obviously.
Yeah, that would burn. Yeah. Burn. And the
kitchen grease fires as well.
Also would burn.
No!
Not my lips! My lips!
Where's my lip balm?
I asked for lip balm and you brought me hot pepper jam. Make it make sense.
Yeah, we definitely got the hot. Okay, so we got the hot pepper jam. We got the ant killer thing that Cody cannot identify. A space heater, the 12 pack for Enzo, which he promises he will share, but I don't know about that.
Yeah, he also said he was going to make a big move. I don't believe it.
Yeah, I don't believe that guy anymore.
Maybe the big move was I'm going to trick them into giving me a 12 pack, yo. And then, boom, I don't even share it, yo. Oh, that's it. Big move.
I'm going to put that in my final jury speech. Guess what? I got a surprise for you. I had a 12 pack all to myself. You didn't get me. Tyler's cloud power. Yeah. I was like, better or worse, Tyler's cloud power. Just keep bringing it up, man. Just keep bringing it up. People love it. The weirdest thing for me was Nicole A asking for her peanut butter socks, but not because she needed them. It was like, I entered the house with them and I need a full blown detective, situation here where we need to all figure out what happened to my peanut butter and jelly socks. That was the one that was the weirdest.
Yeah. What? I swear I had them. And I feel like I'm going crazy here because they're not here. What's going on?
Russell Hance snuck in, burned them. They're done, girl. Sorry.
Wasn't it Sandra?
No, Russell.
She burned the hat.
She burned his hat. Did he burn? He burned something, I think.
He burned the socks.
Support Jason.
Oh, yeah, he did burn the socks.
Yeah. Sockless for a whole season. I don't blame Nicole. If you come in the house with something, you kind of want to leave with it. She left relatively quickly. So if I'm her, week two, I'm like, all right, writing's on the wall. somebody, please, where are my socks? I've been packing for days now. Please, just my PB&J socks. That's all I want.
I was just so excited.
Right.
To wear my PB&J socks.
Yeah, and I'm leaving. Give me my socks. I saw you slip Christmas that hot pepper jam. I want my socks.
But it was more like an investigation. She was like, we need Sherlock Holmes in here, okay, to really crack the case on what's going on. Which, by the way, I would love something like this for my everyday life. I can be like, where are my keys? Well, let me go in the diary room and be like, I know I came home. I unlocked the door with my keys. So where are they? What did you do with my keys?
Benedict Cumberbatch, Robert Downey Jr. I need one of you here. I need to find my PB&J socks.
Doesn't matter which one.
But preferably Cumberbatch. Yeah. I thought Kevin asking for Clippers, I can relate because I would be losing my mind. But I think Davon doubled down on the hot tub. No, she doubled down on the ant killer, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously these people have a ton of ants every season. So I don't mind that. But what kind of Parmesan cheese do they have in the house? Because Janelle was not happy with whatever substitute that they were using.
I'm telling you, it's the green kind. I don't know the brand. I don't know the name. You know what I'm talking about.
The Kraft green, okay. Yeah.
Yes, it's the green one.
It's like it's like a chalky texture.
It's like, it's, you know, Parmesan cheese product, right? It's not actually Parmesan cheese.
Yeah, it's like, Velveeta is like cheese stuff.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
Cheese products.
It's a cheese product, yeah.
Yeah, it's on the shelf with like the actual macaroni shells and like pasta shells and stuff So like, it doesn't melt. It's obviously not cheese because you could just leave it out in the open. And so I'm thinking somebody walked in the house with like a block of that. And Janelle's like, you know what? I did not wear red bottoms into the Big Brother house for you to give me fake cheese substitute. I would like real Parmesan cheese for my slop. Thank you.
Yeah. It's also like very sloshy sounding. The Velveeta.
Oh, I was like, the Parmesan? I was like, what Parmesan cheese are you eating, Taryn?
Very sloshy Parmesan,
Ew. Is it ripe?
Oh my God.
It's not ripe yet. That's the problem.
No. Yeah, it's too sloshy.
Have you dropped it on the ground yet?
Did it?
Always.
Oh my gosh, sorry, now I'm picturing, like, I remember the time where I think it was Tyler who's gonna eat a donut from Danny, and you know, oh, is it vegan? She should have just been like, dropped, it is now.
Boom.
There you go. All right, so we're missing some people. Devon, she was great. I don't remember who else they said was great.
Kacer has the kindest eyes, a quote from Nicole. I don't know about that one. I don't know if that was a plant. Was that like, Nicole, please say something nice about Kacer. Well, you know, and then she had to like run through a couple things she found. He has the kindest eyes.
How do you do
the
kind eyes?
It's like smizing, but kinding.
It's like,
yeah. It's like when I look into your eyes.
No, not that. It's not that, Taryn. It's not that when I look into your eyes, I see home. That's the kind eyes.
Yeah. I look into your eyes, I see home. She also said she wants to be friends with Ian outside the house because that's a thing that she's never done before.
Yeah.
Brand new to her. She just met this guy.
She can't wait to be BFFs.
I can't wait. I'm so excited. I really
hope he doesn't see you. I don't know, hypothetically laughing at his super secret thing that he just told you in confidence in front of a million people. So, you know.
I did Google Ian Terry to see what the automatic fill-ins would be. Y'all thirsty, okay? Because the top search is Ian Terry girlfriend. Mm. And it's not my search. I did it on incognito, okay? So don't look at me when you're like... This is what Liana searched, okay? Ian Terry girlfriend, Ian Terry Yale, Ian Terry big brother, and Ian Terry net worth. So I think there's some people out here looking for something.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let me pull up my incognito and see what I can find. Okay. Dr. Will Speedo.
It's undies, Chappelle.
I'm sorry. Ooh.
Okay.
I don't. Thank you, Liana. I'm sorry. No. I almost went into
something. Do not mislabel.
Liana, that was intentional. He's looking for more.
It's like, I got some other videos I need to find.
Just of the Dr. Will variety.
Look, when you're rocking those undies, there's more to find.
We'll see. Another eggplant joke in there somewhere. All right, moving on. So Ian's autistic. That's a thing. No, I'm kidding.
I heard. I heard Dr. Will's eggplants are also particularly heavy, Chappelle. So you've got, you know.
So I'm in good company. I'll ask the salamander to be sure.
Yes, we get a very nice. I mean, this is something that we saw in the episode. Or what part of what I liked about this recap was that. There were actually a pretty small amount of repeated segments. And I think if you're going to do repeated segments, these next two segments, pretty good ones to repeat. Ian talking about being on the spectrum, having that, not be who he is, which kind of made me sad. Again, we talked about this before, but like, you know, headlines of certain articles, I felt like were exactly what he was talking about. Mm-hmm. But still, just like, so, you know, he's so clearly uncomfortable talking about it. And the fact that he's willing to and be open about it is really nice, really cool. Happy to see that segment again. And then the Kacer and Devon talk. It's so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to talk about Ian a little bit more before we move on to Kacer and Devon. Ian is my hero. I watched that segment and I adore that man. He's awesome. I misspoke earlier. I said Ian's autistic. But what I mean is that Ian is on the spectrum. And he said, you know, that he might be on the spectrum of autism or whatever. But to me, just seeing him talk about it and go and win Big Brother and stuff, I hope he's an inspiration to people who can relate, people who can't relate. Ian is an inspiration to me. I enjoyed seeing him on this season. I wish he could have done better for, you know, I think we're always kind of rooting for Ian regardless. And so I just want to say that, yeah, seeing him, it made me want to be friends with him outside the house even more. I know Nicole has never met this man outside the house and she wants to be friends with him too, but I as well. So yeah, shout out to Ian, because I really enjoyed that segment for sure.
Mm-hmm. And I think also not just for people who are on the spectrum, but in general, if you feel like there's something that you don't want to define you, right? Like you are not a disease. You are not this one thing. And I think that was really important. And I'm happy that this was one of the things that they chose to show again.
Yeah. And I mean, it does a little bit tie into the conversation that Kacer and Devon have. Mm-hmm. Kacer talking about religion and then Devon talking about how she, you know, she can't just come on and play this game because she is, defined as who she is. And she talks about Breonna Taylor. It's so nice. It's so it makes me remember that Kacer should be on the show all the time. And Devon, because this wasn't even like both Kacer and Devon were two people that really tried to have these conversations. And without mm-hmm. them there, we didn't get that. Like Devon brought up this stuff to David. She talked to David about like his relationship with Jackson and Jack. Jack and Mickey, whatever it is. She's not afraid to just like open up and talk about these things and ask the questions. And Kacer, he wants to go there. He wants to talk about these things. And the fact that we got this on the feeds, on the episodes, I'm really happy about it because it's not something that I'm used to when I watch Big Brother.
Yes, exactly. I mean, look, I do love the fun, silly segments, but things like this are so critically important. I think especially when Kacer is talking about action, you know, one of the reasons why he came on Big Brother is because he wanted to take action. He wanted to be part of those conversations and push that on national television. And I'm happy that he had Devon in there to do it with him. I think especially leading up to the election and voting, not just for America's Favorite Player, but also in general, I think that this was something so critically important. I'm really happy that it was shown again. I can't be happier about something like this being shown.
And I agree. Both of you guys said that beautifully. And I just, you know, also want to say that, you know, when it comes to voting, if you were to vote for Devon for America's Favorite Player, that wouldn't be a horrible thing if you choose to do that on your own. But Devon and Kacer being in the house, it did promote those conversations. And it made me feel like Kacer is just a better human being than I am. I mean, I just feel like I would be in the house to win and that would be it. And you would never hear any type of in-depth conversation with me at all. It would just be like Chappelle talking about eggplants and, you know, things of that nature. And Kacer, he literally came onto the show to have a platform, and I appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. And Kacer just like, you know, the bravery of going on the show at the time he did in season six, wanting to represent his culture where he comes from, in the way that he did so successfully. I just love Kacer. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's talk about Karen. Costumes, punishment costumes.
I'm sorry, costumes? Say what? No, this is my normal attire. I wore this to work today. Okay. It's PPE safe. Okay. Look, I'm safe at work. So I want to walk through my like mental thoughts as I was watching this episode. So first I was like, I'm going to wear my onesie. We're going all out. Silly segment, mm-hmm. silly segment, silly segment. And then we get the like really important serious segments. And I'm like, oh my God. I'm overdressed. I'm underdressed. I don't know. I'm inappropriately dressed. But then we went right back to the punishment costumes. I was like, no, it's okay. This is where I belong. We take the silly with the serious. It's all in good fun. Please talk. I'm awkward now.
You're awkward now? Really?
Now.
What animal? You said that's a dinosaur?
I'm a dinosaur.
What kind of dinosaur?
I don't know, like a blue one. I've got a little.
Oh yeah,
with a tail.
The blue one. That was my favorite dinosaur. The blue one was my favorite dinosaur as a kid.
Yeah, the Land Before Time, the blue one.
Yeah, yeah. Pterodactyl, well. Tyrannosaurus Rex, you know, Stegosaurus, the blue one.
Ducky.
The blue one. I swear, I've been thinking you were some type of fish this entire time, so I'm glad you cleared that up.
So here's the problem. This is the nose. For those of you who are watching the video version, you know, if the audio version, I mean, come on, guys, I'm wearing a costume. The eyes are like to the side and it's hard to see them. So
can you see through the nose holes?
No, I cannot. No, this isn't the Masked Singer. I know. Yeah, I
that's
should.
A demerit.
Yeah, I know. I need to, change it up. I just want a gold star. Speaking of costumes.
Yeah, this would be a great punishment costume that you're supposed to see through the nose holes, but you can't. You just have to wear it like that.
Yeah, I have to hold it around like this and then just sort of bump into things. I'm sure that would definitely be a thing Big Brother would be all into. Yeah. I'm excited for the segment.
And speaking of stars, Christmas had star babies.
I think that might be one of my favorite punishments, the star babies, because there was so many of them by the end. Like, that's hilarious to me.
I'm so confused as to why people like this.
Why?
I'm with Liana on this one. I thought that was great. At first I was like, this is stupid. There's like one baby. I was like, oh, she has twins. When she's in like a room like full of like all like it's 45 stars in there, and then Enzo's like carrying one trying to burp it, and she's like, just get out of here, I'm sick of it. Like, I love that. That was precious. I liked every second of it.
I need to hear why Taryn hates it.
I just don't get it.
He doesn't like star babies.
What do you mean you don't get it?
It's just a bunch of pillows.
If you hate children, just say that.
Specifically star babies. No,
that was funny as hell.
There's something about managing a large number of things.
Of pillows.
Of anything. Yeah, it could have been. Yeah, it's overwhelming and it's hilarious. And the segment or the scene of her and Enzo with all of their little star babies. It was cute. Sorry. Right. I mean, I know for robots, the programming is not updated yet, especially star babies. That's like a weird thing to be, you know, to like. So maybe one day, Taryn, you'll come around on this.
Taryn and Julie both. Yeah, I mean, anytime I can see Christmas punished, I'm down. Throw some stars at her.
There's that too, yes.
Yeah. All right. We finally got to see Bailey's punishment on the recap. And after seeing it, I was like, oh, yeah, that's why they didn't hear it.
I know, right? It was like, yeah, we could have gone without this. Although, the chant at the end...
Yes.
That's really catchy.
It is.
Do you remember it?
She got one left chant.
Yeah.
That was the one I was talking about.
That's how we feel about this season. Like, we got
two. That's what we got two episodes.
We got one week left. Yay. I didn't like Bailey's punishment. I don't think I would have liked that. Like, there would have been a segment of me like laying on the ground, like complaining because did she do that all at one time, Taryn? Yeah. I don't know if you saw. Mm-hmm.
I think she took a short break, but like, yeah, it was, she knocked it out real quick. Was part of the problem. Like, it did not, there was no struggle.
Yeah. The opposite. You would have had to, there would have been people like in the house, like, Chappelle, please get out of the bed. Why? Because you haven't finished your thing. Like, I don't care. I don't want to be in the veto. God, leave me alone. Like just, it's a tricycle. Grow up. I'm like, fine.
Yeah, no, you would have gone and laid down right next to Memphis on the floor and been like, definitely. I feel you, man.
Oh my gosh. If we could just get the hot tub again. Yeah,
yeah, you'll need the hot tub after that. No, Chappelle's like, it's fine. I just won't play in the next veto. It's fine. I don't care. Like, I don't care. Whatever.
At this rate, I'm probably not going to win anyway. I'm looking at the writing on the wall, running out of minorities here. My time is coming. It's coming.
Yeah. The one thing I was really happy though that they did include, and they included the shade music with it, whether or not it was intended to be shade, but was when Nicole said, "Well, it seems like you're pedaling a lot and you're not going very far."
Yeah. And Bailey looked at her like,
"Girl." Yeah. And they did the shade. You know, I know it's not RuPaul's Drag Race with the rattle, but it, like, still similar vibe.
I was missing Nicole with the sly smile, like
afterwards.
The bangs.
Yeah.
Liana, I caught that too. She's like, well, maybe you're not telling fast enough. Bailey was like, oh, okay. All right. I hear that. Gonna keep on pedaling though.
You know what would have made this competition or this punishment more interesting is
Kathy crawling in caramel behind, chasing behind her, going,
Listen, Bailey, it too, is probably afraid of the cops. So, yeah.
It all fits. She's in a tricycle also, a vehicle, as close as we're going to get in the Big Brother house. Yeah. Yeah, that's what we're aiming for in Scare Wars. Yeah. Oh, no.
All right. Well, we get a crying montage. We get one of these every year now. I thought this was not the most fun crying montage. We've gotten much better crying montages.
Yeah.
I'm thinking back, maybe Big Meech. She cried a lot and it was funny.
For me, the crying part of the crying montages are not my favorite. I like the other weird diary room segments. So, for example, when Ian was trying to sit in the chair, he's like, my butt's wet. How do I sit? Yes. And then the next one was Nicole being like, this seat's wet. That kind of stuff really makes me laugh. So I guess the only crying moment that I liked was when Janelle was throwing shade at Nicole, being like, I don't need a box of tissues. You know, flash cut to Nicole. Guys, find the tissues.
That was a good story it told, because it was Janelle's, I don't need tissues like Nicole does. And it was Nicole like, oh, where are the, I got, give me the tissues. And then it was Devon like, oh, there's never tissues in here when I need them.
Yeah. A story in three parts.
No, it was good. Yeah, not my favorite crying segment. I think it's just, we don't have any iconic criers this season. Like, we have criers, but no one who just like their crying took the cake. Like, I brought a Big Meech, but do you remember in that final, in that jury segment thing with Dr. Will and Cody's staring at her? She's like, Cody's not looking at me. Like, that's the type of crying that I want. I want someone who's like, stop it with your stupid face facing at me, and just breaks down crying. So yeah, Franzel crying over like missing, and Tyler crying over missing his girlfriend and all that stuff. Like, that stuff is normal crying, I guess. I want like the hysteric crying for no reason, crying because life happened or something. I don't know. This just was kind of like, eh, it's fine.
Tyler's one was like legit anguish. I was like,
he tried to quit and they told him no. So leave this house.
Tyler's one like made me feel a little uncomfortable. Because yes. It looked like he was in the midst of like a panic attack, like he just needed to leave. Like, and I was like, oh man, like, this isn't fun.
He tried to quit the game, and they said no, like no, no, no. And he's just like, yeah, please, gee, let me out of here, God, for God's sakes, have some humanity. And they're like, no, stay there, stay where you are.
Oh my God. If the wand off existed for Big Brother, that's when you do the rehab parody of like, you know, I like, or like, I want to leave the house. And they said, no, no, no. Right. That's what you go with.
Yeah. Kind of Winehouse.
Yeah, the one moment that I think it was the intro maybe to this segment of Enzo saying women like a guy who can cry. And then at the same time, isn't he the one who's like, oh, I can't cry. I need to wear my sunglasses so no one can see me cry.
Yeah. And then in the end of the episode, he's crying in the diary room. And after that on the feeds, he was like, I'm just really upset that I just cried in the diary room. Like, people just saw me cry.
Yeah. And then you have Janelle saying, I will never give y'all the satisfaction of seeing me crying in this house. like Janelle, we love it. We love it.
Well, see, I think what, like, because I think that was fun, but I think what ruined it for me is that I was like, oh, are they going to show when she cried about Nicole Anthony? But then they did it, and I was like, oh, okay, so they were just going for that, and I was like, oh, I ruined it for me.
Mm-hmm. It did. She did cry. And I think that's the thing that turned everybody against Nicole Anthony this season, because it was like Nicole Anthony was saying a lot of things and she was kind of being a jerk about it. And Janelle was trying her best. But then it came to like, Janelle cried for her. She literally developed tear ducts and cried for that woman. And it was like, okay, Nicole Anthony, you're dead to us. Sorry. So, yeah.
You know what you did.
You know what you did.
Ultimate betrayal.
Oh man. So we do get this final diary room session from Enzo where he's talking about how much he wants it. And this might be one of my favorite moments of the entire season, because I love these raw confessionals. It reminded me of Zach Rance, that he really, you can see, and this man who has been broken down over the course of the season, we noted it, like he had energy, he was excited over the course of the season. He's been burned out, but he is still here, and he just has this like intense desire to make it happen, and he can see it all crumbling in front of him, and he's just like, I want to scream my dad's name, and he gets lost in that moment for that period of time. It's like you so rarely see these raw moments in the diary room like this, but it was so powerful to me.
Yeah, it was really powerful. And I think to see something so raw and so emotional in that moment, I know it's after like the silly emotional segment, but like this one felt legit. This was like super legitimate. You know, I don't know if they gave him some hot pepper jam before he went in there, but like that was hot, raw emotion.
Yeah, I liked the segment, but part of me was kind of thinking like, Enzo, you could have voted Nicole out a couple weeks ago.
Played so, yourself, buddy.
I feel really bad for you, but this is kind of your fault a little bit. Yeah, just a tad.
You're going to get voted out and you're going to scream Nicole's name.
Right. And the last thing you're going to remember is Christmas saying, Enzo, you just got third place, and then walking out of the house. And that's got to suck.
I think Victor's also used to screaming Nicole's name.
Oh, I'm sorry.
There. I thought of it. I had to say it. Oh, my bad.
Liana, this has been a clean show. You just had to take
Liana always dragging us down.
Liana, please. Taryn and I staying above the level. And look at you. Just go. When you go low, we go high. I can't.
High bread.
High bread. That's the two of us. How dare you?
High bread podcast.
Yes.
Oh man.
All right. That was the recap. That was the recap. Then we get some Dr. Will in his undies to top it off.
See?
What's the timestamp for that? I don't think I saw it.
Yeah, you know what? It would be if people in the chat actually had that, just you know, to examine, just to make sure again that it wasn't a Speedo.
We all need to revisit this. Yes. Let's all take a good hard look.
How hard?
All right. Well, we do have some spoilers for you. We know who won part one of the final three HOH, so we can let you know what happened there very shortly. But if you are going to leave us now, thank you so much for joining us. I will be back tomorrow morning to update everyone on what happened today on the live feeds. And I will also be live tomorrow night for the Legacy Watch Roundtable. And then Monday, we'll be back to recap the Monday night episode where we'll maybe see the first part of the HOH. I don't know, probably, right?
It's gotta be. My prediction is it's gotta be that. It's gotta be Christmas going to the jury house, maybe.
I would like to see that.
Yeah, maybe the jury round table. Jury round table, maybe. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. No, we don't usually get that on the finale. I don't know.
The finale.
It's 2 hours. Know. What are they doing?
It's All Stars, baby.
I don't know. We got two left. That's how many episodes. We'll get through it.
All right. Well, guys, I have the spoiler song. Are we ready for spoilers? Let's make it happen.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Raising the roof like Christmas.
Woo. Well, yes. Raise the roof. Woo. Woo. Just like the emoji. Let's go.
Yes. All right. So we have some information for you. They played part one of the final three HOH. One of the reasons why Enzo was crying in the diary room is because he did not win part one of the final three HOH. So it came down to Nicole and Cody. And Nicole is the winner of part one, the final three HOH. Cody and Enzo will be facing off in part two.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. Nicole was in her big.
Not the big.
She was in her big.
Yeah, I mean, this, so I believe the competition was the spinny one where you have to hold on to the rope and you stand on the platform and then you get, you know, hit by the whatever the theme was this year, which it definitely favors people who are smaller and lighter. And so it makes sense that Nicole was able to pull this one out. And then wasn't there a thing with like Enzo getting disqualified because he maybe sat on it or something like that?
Yeah, I think he said he lasted like 17 minutes and it was embarrassing, and that he maybe maybe like sat down to quit instead of like falling off or something like that. But yeah, he did not do particularly well, and it's starting to look like he may need to just go ahead and win part two and part three if he wants any chance in this game. But we did hear from Cody at the end of the episode. He said, I'm not going to repeat my mistakes of last time. I'm going to do what's best for my game. I just wish I knew what he thought was best for his game.
Okay. So let's cut to the chase here. Let's just stop. What's best for Cody's game is being in the final three with these two people or any other two of the people who've just gone home. He's in a good spot regardless. I think we really should be thinking about Nicole. You've won the first round of the HOH. Should we even be celebrating if you're not willing to cut Cody? That's the winning move. That's got to be it. Whether you're Enzo, whether you're Nicole, you cut Cody, we will just hand you the win. And people might actually respect you despite all the things that people find wrong with this season. And I just don't think either of them is going to do it. So are we wasting our time here? Taryn, talk to me.
Look, we're never wasting our time recapping a recap. It is very important work. Somebody needs to do it, Chappelle.
It's day 79 in the house and not a lot of movement.
Not a lot of movement.
Nicole's probably not going to use
her part one.
Yeah, not going to do anything as usual. And Enzo's not going to do it either. But, you know, I'm enjoying this season. So
I'm enjoying my sweet potato fries. They're very good.
So, Taryn, what are the odds that Cody loses this season? Just give me the raw data.
The raw data. Well, I have looked into the matrix and I can tell you. I'm going to say 5%.
That he loses.
Is that 5% contingent on somebody cutting him, or is that he could get to the final two and still lose? Do you think it's possible that he could get to the final two and still lose?
I think it's like 4% somebody cuts him, 1% he loses a jury vote.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I'm trying to decide, well, you know, well, what am I rooting for? What do I want to happen? I think I need to know who Cody would take. I really, in my heart, I need to know that information. I don't trust the interviews after necessarily, although, you know, I need to see it happen. So I think ultimately that's what I'm rooting for. I think Cody has a great shot against Enzo, knowing what the part two of the final HOH competitions have been previously. So I think we're going to end up with a Cody versus Nicole final three, but I don't know. We don't know for sure.
I'm sorry. I just can't take you seriously when you're talking serious strategy dressed as a dinosaur.
Sorry, why?
Like, what do you mean, Taryn?
All podcast long, I've been like, yeah, it's just Liana in a dinosaur costume. But the second you started, like, I just want to know what's happening with the strat. I'm like, what are you doing? Yeah, you're in a dinosaur costume.
That's why I went to Taryn for the data. Like, give us the statistics here, and Liana, you just sit there and be a dinosaur.
You just have fun, okay? You do you. That's cute. You got
fun. I have the opposite opinion, I guess, of Liana, though. I'd rather see Franzo do the thing that needs to be done. Even if she doesn't win. Let's say she cuts Cody and they all give the money to Enzo because they hate her. Whatever. I just want to know that she got it in her, because I don't think she has it in her at all. But I want that for her. What? Don't we want good Big Brother players, especially women players? Because, there's just a discrepancy in who's like set up to win this game. This is a moment for her to beat another male in the final two and to be the first two-time winner and to be in the like pantheon of winners with these guys that get so much credit. I just want that for her, even if I don't love her as a person. Like, don't we deserve, and this is 2020, so I know we don't get nice things, but don't we deserve nice things? So that's me. That's That's me. Well, I don't mind if she loses, but I need to know if she's willing to cut Cody.
Here's what's interesting. I think that if let's say Nicole cuts Cody and takes Enzo, you'd think slam dunk now for Nicole. But what if Enzo is savvy enough? Because basically what's going to happen is the jury's going to come in with their own set of opinions. Cody's going to win unless somebody cuts him. So when Nicole cuts him, they're going to be like, oh, so maybe now Nicole should win. But it's a very fresh opinion. It's not locked in. Mm-hmm. It's not your usual come in already having your mind made up. So if they get to the questioning and Enzo comes right out of the gates saying, look what I just did, yo. Mm-hmm. I just got Nicole to cut Cody, yo. I convinced her. And she's gonna be like, no, I did it on my own. Now it's all of a sudden who can take the credit for cutting Cody. And I feel like that's his only shot at that point.
I've seen Enzo's goodbye messages. And like,
yeah, oh Enzo's going to be like, Cody, yo, I did my best to try to get her to take you, yo. I don't know what to say, yo. That's it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I like Terrence's scenario much better because even if that happened and they could potentially give Enzo the win, but whatever, even if that happened, that would be great TV. That moment of Enzo just turning it on and Nicole kind of just like hitting the slow head turn and looking at him like, you monster, you know, like, you know, because we've seen this before where people like make the big move. I think it was like Survivor, blah, 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 whatever. Intern season.
Great season.
Where you have like Ken in the final, like with David Wright, and he finally cuts David Wright, and everybody's like, Adam is like, I told you to do that. And he's like, no, I was going to do it anyway because I have to do it to beat him. And Adam's like, but were you? I don't think you were. You know, so that's how he gets the win. And so I would love to see that moment. But again, I just don't think we can have nice things. And again, you know, we've seen Enzo in those moments. So I just, yeah. And also, Danny hates Nicole. She just hates her. And I think that's why she was so hell bent on going to the end with her, because she's like, no, I don't respect this girl. So I'm just going to drag her along, get to the end with her and beat her. And now that everyone's coming out of the house and they're like, you know, I kind of respect Nicole. She's like, why? I hate her. It's so annoying. And so I think if Enzo wanted to do that, Danny would be like, you know what? I think Enzo's right. I think it sounds like Enzo convinced her and Nicole's just dumb. She's not able. So I could see it happening.
Yeah. Danny's going to be like, she's going to go to ask her question and she's going to look at the note card that she was assigned, because that's how they do it. And she's going to be like, no, I'm going to go with my own question, because I know better. And she's going to say, so Enzo, what it sounds like you're saying is that you convinced Nicole to cut Cody right at the end. That's what you're saying. How did you convince Nicole to cut Cody like that? Very impressive.
That sounds much more likely. Although, you know, when Enzo brings up his 12-pack play, then I think that might really convince the jury.
How did we forget about that?
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Secret weapon.
That's what I'm saying.
That's it, yo.
That's it.
I'm trying to say, yo.
Oh, my gosh.
Wait, so last season... That was Jackson's season, right? I try to remove that from my memory. But their final competition was like this, like super physical, like sand coming out of a thing. It was like a whole production. And then this season, they just have to hang on to the little swing thing.
Yeah. Okay. I think it's a good direction. I honestly, like, I don't want it to be this big obstacle course that the Jacksons are going to win every time.
Yeah. And I know you had kind of like you had talked about this before where, you know, you could see the competition getting more and more physical, but they chose this season to be like, yeah, let's give Nicole a fair shot.
I don't think they did it on purpose. I think that they have a limited crew this season because of COVID. And so they had to stick with what they knew.
Right. It was like a Legends of the Hidden Temple set last time. Like, you had to like put together the green monkey. It's only three pieces. And then like, you know, like go through the forest and then dodge the temple guards. And like, and Jackson won because he's an athlete and he was up against what, Cliff?
If it was really Legends of the Hidden Temple, Jackson wouldn't have won. He wouldn't have fit through all the child sized obstacles.
That's true.
The white crocodiles. Yeah, I can see that now. They're matching T-shirts.
Oh, my God.
It's a good show.
It is a good show. Bring that back. Yeah.
All right.
Anyway,
you know, it's been a wonderful night. I've had so much fun with you guys. What a great recap of the recap. We had a good recap and a great recap of the recap.
Is Rob going to listen to this?
I hope not.
Me too.
I'd like to keep my job, please.
I just got here.
Yeah.
I didn't even get to talk. Yeah.
Just everyone just say to Rob, it was a great show. You shouldn't even listen to it. It was so good that it's, you know, it's like that Monty Python joke. You don't want to, you might die if you listen to it. So just take our word for it. It was great.
If y'all could please tweet him that.
Yeah. The greatest podcast in the world. This is just a tribute, you know? So that's what I'm saying.
Enjoy your brother's wedding. If you're listening to this, tweet Rob and tell him not to listen to this, please. I think that would be hilarious.
Yes.
It was great. Please don't listen.
Yes, exactly.
Bam him.
10 out of 10, don't listen.
No need to listen.
5 stars.
Emphasize.
Trust
would
me.
Would not recommend.
believe me. Look into my kind eyes and trust me.
And see home.
Chappelle, you just did kind eyes. I don't know if you did it on purpose. See, now you're losing. Now, you know, I don't think you can do kind eyes on purpose.
These are my kind eyes.
All right. That's what we have for you. So again, Monday and Wednesday, we will have some recaps for you. Of course, Wednesday being the finale. I'm going to continue to have daily updates for you tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern, all the way until the finale. The last three shows will be an in-depth dive into the final three and their games across the season. The Saturday roundtable will be on Saturday. 9 p.m. Eastern. We've also got some amazing race coverage happening with Rob, Jess, and Mike. Some fun stuff happening there. For second episode in a row where there was an annoying song playing on repeat, in my opinion.
If I had the steel drum song, I would play it for you now, Taryn.
I wish I had the clip. That's what it's supposed to be here for. There's also a Talking with T-Bird coming up soon with Katie Gallagher from Palau. You know, it's a perfect timing. Final three situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. there's some 90 Day Fiance coverage with Puya and Sasha. We've got The Bachelorette with Amy and Haley. And don't forget to become a patron of Rob Has a Podcast. If you haven't already, the patrons directly fund recaps of the recap. There's a recap of the recap fund. No, I'm lying to you.
Do you want more podcasts that we will tell Rob are great, but he shouldn't listen to?
Yeah.
That's how you get them. You become a patron.
Become a patron. In the notes to become a patron, say, this was from the recap of the recap that you should still not listen to, but was great.
Yes, exactly.
Thanks.
Thanks. Okay, thanks.
And of course, remember to vote.
For Davon for American Trader Hospice. Is that where you were going? Okay. Never mind.
For all of the things, including the upcoming election, it's coming up very soon. It's very important to vote. It is an extremely important duty that we all have as people and citizens of this country. And we should all go and do it and make sure you do it. If you're listening to this and you're like, "Nah, he's not talking about me." No. I am talking about you. I am looking, if you're watching this video, I'm looking straight at you and I'm saying you need to vote.
He's looking right at me. I already voted though, so I'm off the hook. All right.
Sorry.
Submitted my ballot last week.
Dinosaurs are not allowed to vote. I don't know.
Hey. Aww, we've been around forever, man.
Fair point.
If you're in the American, chat, they're like, "What if I'm not American?" Still vote.
Can they vote for
whenever you do the votes?
Yeah, like find somebody's email address. I don't know.
Yeah,
vote for Davon for America.
The other countries have votes too. You know,
you can vote for
I didn't say specifically it had to be. You know,
right? Yeah, you're like running for a class president. Vote. You know, like vote. You know, like if you got a Zoom thing, vote. You know, so. Vote for whatever, but also for Davon for America's Favorite House Guest.
All right. All right. Well, you can find me on Twitter at @ArmstrongTaren or on Twitch, twitch.tv/TarenArmstrong. I will also be playing some Among Us on Sunday, 5 p.m. Eastern, with Puya. Liana will be there. I think we have some other great guests on the way. Wiggler, I think, is going to show up, if I'm not mistaken. So make sure you tune in for that. I would love to see Josh Wiggler as an imposter.
I can't wait. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I don't know how we rig the game, but I need to see it.
Yes. Josh Wiggler is a poser. I mean, imposter.
So mean.
All right. And again, make sure you check out the Christmas exit interview at the beginning of this podcast. If you're listening, then I'm reminding you of something that you have already listened to. And for that, you're welcome. But for those watching live, make sure you find the audio version so you can listen to the Christmas exit interview. Chappelle, where can people find you if they need to know more about candy corn and sweet potato fries?
First of all, I never tweet about sweet potato fries. and if you want to hear my takes on candy corn, please check out the Wombat Water podcast. I don't know when it's going to be released, but in the next couple of days, we talked about candy. We did a candy bracket and a candy tournament, and we had to talk about, you know, why certain candies were better than other candies. And I won't spoil it for you, but there's a very deserving winner at the end. And so check that out whenever you get a chance. That's a separate podcast. So if you're familiar with Wombat Water, go look at that. If you're not, follow me on Twitter. I'll tweet out the link. My Twitter name is @Chappelle_show. That's CHAPPELLS_SHOW. And if you tweet me, I'll talk to you. I'll talk to everyone.
There you go. Liana, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter @LianaRHAP. Mike Bloom and I are going to be doing the B&B this weekend also. So if shenanigans are your type of thing, the B&B is the place to be. We're going to have Kevin and Nigel, the dynamic duo, on to talk with us about a lot of really bizarre things. We're going to address filler segments. So I think it's going to be fun. So look out for that.
Kevin's great.
I just need to... You haven't ever peed your pants during that podcast.
No, I did ask one time. We were doing like a dance thing and I was like, where do my knees go? I think that may have been one of the dumbest things I've said. Or what do you call a group of baseball players? I think was another thing that I said that was incredibly dumb. And Mike was just like, a team. So, you know, look, you win some, you lose some, you lose a lot of them, you lose all the time. It's fine.
This was so fun. This was so funny. I almost peed myself. So that means something. I said almost. I did not pee myself. I'm an adult, but yeah. You know.
Hey.
Look, Chappelle and I know how to not pee ourselves.
That's true.
Brag much? Okay.
Just saying. All right. Thank you guys so much for joining us tonight. It's been a blast. I hope you guys enjoyed it as well. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.